Know about you, but I know it's me.
Yes, sir.
It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of your prayer.
Yes, sir.
I come before you this afternoon, giving all honor and praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine, recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend McMillan, Minister Riley, my lovely wife, and my beautiful church family. It's an honor, privilege, and it's always an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take control, Lord. Take control right now, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Wandering minds. Take control of wishful hearts.
Yes, sir, God.
Take control of any feeling, Lord, that someone may be harboring now, whether it's a spirit of sorrow, or whatever spirit, Lord, I take control right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring peace, bring rest right in the midst of that thought. Lord God, just bring a peace that goes beyond any understanding. Take control right now, Lord. Take control of this vessel.
Yes, sir, God.
Guide the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, that I will speak a word from on high.
Yes.
Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord, for
yes.
Someone needs to hear from you. Someone is waiting, Lord. Speak a word. Have your way in this place. Have your way in this vessel. Have your way on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. You would turn in your Bibles to the letter, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. You heard read this morning, verses 24 through 32, which speaks to the mystery of God, and I will pick up at the 33rd verse. This is Paul speaking. It reads thusly, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counselor, or who have first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Paul speaking, oh, the depth and the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. You know, this is First Sunday. Yet another communion day, as we have designated it. And it's yet another opportunity, or another chance for me to speak of the significance of this celebration. And when I think about this celebration, reminds me of the words, the title of the song, I believe it is, that I get joy when I think about what he's done for me.
Yes.
But each time I get up here on the first Sunday and try to present yet a new and fresh idea to for those who know, I don't have to worry about that. For some that don't have the depth of this celebration, I try to figure a way to cleverly get into their spirit the significance of communion. So probably everyone here has seen at least a picture of the Lady Justice, if not the actual statue. The actual statue stands in the main entrance to the Supreme Court building in Washington. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, if there are some, you know, the statue of the lady holding a sword in one hand and scales in the other, balance. The sword that she holds in her hand is a representation of the power and the strength of justice. And she holds a scale in the other hand that represents the balance and the fairness of justice. And then a third symbol on that statue is a blindfold, which represents objectivity in the implementation of justice. Look at that, and the reason I'm bringing all of that up is because that's man's attempt at justice.
All right.
It's a final decision in our land when you do something here. The final decision lays with the Supreme Court. So that's our attempt at justice. And if you go on the lower end of that, you probably watch TV like I do a lot, or you've seen it in the movies on the lower courts when behind the scenes somebody has committed a crime, but they offer a plea deal. And very seldom does that plea deal provide justice.
Come on, man.
Because you might be a murderer, and they give you something less, a lesser charge. So that plea deal really didn't get you justice. Before I go any further, I want to just try to, because I'm struggling with this, try to offer you a guideline for this message. And let's just call it making a plea deal. You see, like I said, when man tries to give you a plea deal, very seldom does it bring about justice.
Come on now.
But I know somewhere where you can really get a true plea deal.
All right now.
I know where you can get a plea deal that provides justice and righteousness. It's a plea deal, and God is able to offer us this plea deal, because instead of dealing with us with justice, He deals with us with grace.
Grace.
And mercy.
And mercy.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
You see, justice is when you get what you deserve. Uh-huh. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. And grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Uh-huh. I have one amen in the back. But God knows that. He said, in order for me to provide justice, somebody has to pay for the crime.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We just can't have a plea deal where no one pays for the crime, but God offers us a plea deal, and God also offers us someone to provide justice.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Let's look at the parts of this case here. If this were a court case, we could take the elements of this summary of a court case, if you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in that you would find man's problem. Mm-hmm. You would find man's responsibility. Mm-hmm. You would find God's sovereignty. Mm-hmm. You would find God's promise. And God's provision.
All
right. Let's look a little bit into this. If you look at what man's problem is, Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
It didn't say some of us have sinned. Oh. It said all of us have sinned. And if you look at what sin is, sin is failing to give God his rightful place in your life. Mm-hmm. And therefore we withhold from him the honor that he is due. Mm-hmm. Sin is living independent from God.
Amen.
Sin is being absorbed with our life, our own life, until we virtually have no relationship with Jesus. I'm going to offer you an acronym that I found in my research. Because it's easy to remember when you think about what sin actually is. The S in sin you can write down is self-absorbed. When you're thinking about yourself. And the I stands for independent of God. And the N stands for no relationship with Jesus. So, if you realize that it's not about me, and I can't live without him, and that I need a relationship to make it. So man has a problem. Man is separated from God by sin. And then if you look at another aspect of the case here, God's promise and provision. We discussed last week, Romans 8:28, It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, the call according to his purpose. So God has made a promise, and God has provided a provision, a way that we can do it. See, that's the wonderful thing about God. When he promises, yes, he can do it.
Yes, yes.
Not like us. See, we can have all good intentions, but we can promise, and just because we're human, we can't carry it through. But when God promises, God provides a way.
Yes, he does. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Another aspect of this case is human responsibility. Romans 10, 11 through 13 says, for the scripture says, whosoever,
whosoever,
that's a good word, mm-hmm, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Yes.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Whosoever.
Mm-hmm. So human has some responsibility. We have some responsibility, and all we have to do is call on the name of the Lord.
That's right.
But that's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Let's look on deeper here. The other aspects of this case, there's God's sovereignty in that.
Mm-hmm.
So what is God's sovereignty? It's Romans 9, 20 and 21 says that, nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God?
Mm. Come on now.
Shall the thing formed, mm-hmm, say to him that formed it,
uh-huh,
why hast thou made me thus? Have not the potter power over the clay?
Yes, sir.
Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. In other words, God directs the history of the universe.
Amen.
And he directs it along the course of his foreordained plan.
Yes.
This involves his ability to choose individuals and groups for special purposes and the outworking of this plan?
Yes.
For instance, Jeremiah and Paul were chosen by God to have special missions even before they were formed in their mother's womb.
Come on then.
Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Mm.
And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee.
All right now.
And I ordained thee a prophet, yes, unto the nations.
Yes.
Galatians 1:15 says, but this is talking about Paul. It says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb,
yeah,
and called me by his grace. He called Paul from his mother's womb.
Come on there.
So, when we look at God's sovereignty,
yes,
we look at human responsibility, and we look at man's free will, we are confronted with a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we are powerless when it comes to controlling some of the sure realities of our life.
All right.
Y'all stay with me now. You see, no one in here knows how long they're going to live.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
So we have no power over how long we will live, the length of our life. And we really have no control over our abilities. What I can do. Some people can run fast.
Oh, yes.
And I don't care how long you train, you can't run as fast as some people. Some people can jump high, and I don't care what you do to strengthen your legs, you can't jump as high as some people.
Come on, man.
I don't care how long you study or stay in school, some people are just naturally smarter than you are. So some things we cannot control. Some things God's got it all in His control.
That's right. Amen.
But watch this. But we do have the choice. We have the power to make choices.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
Amen.
Bear with me here a minute. See, John, while exiled to the island of Patmos and in the spirit in Revelation 17, 14, he identifies Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Uh-huh.
And then Peter, when preaching to those gathered at Cornelius' house in Acts 10, 42, he identifies Jesus as the one appointed by God to be judge of all. That's the living and the dead.
That's right.
So God is both king and judge. Don't miss this.
Uh-huh.
So God is both king and judge.
Uh-huh.
The scripture teaches us that as king, he orders and controls all things, human action included amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it all in accord with his own eternal purpose.
Yes, yes.
But scripture also teaches us that he is judge.
Yes, he is.
He holds every man responsible for the choices he makes and the course of action he pursues. If you didn't get that, catch me at the service, because that's important. So God knows everything.
Yes, he does.
And the same God who knew and knows everything, he knew that man would choose to act independent from him.
Yes.
He had given man the earth to rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was always his plan that he and man would walk together.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a partnership of love and friendship. But he also anticipated that sin would divide him from his children. Therefore, when the time was right, God sent his own son, Jesus, to fulfill his plan. He and Jesus had devised this plan from the foundation of the world. And this plan, here's your plea deal. This plan would make it possible for any man or woman wanting to get free from the power of sin to do so.
All right.
This plan would make it possible to start life all over with a new, clean slate. This plan, it would even allow us to be reunited with our Creator as though we had never sinned. I think we ought to take the plea deal. I don't know how you feel, but I know that I've done things that I can't pay the penalty. I can't overcome what I have done. I know that if I go before the judge that I'll be guilty and I'll be destined to hell for eternity. So I think we ought to take the deal.
That's right.
Take it.
Come on there.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we ought to take the deal. Hallelujah. This plan is amazing. This deal that we're being offered is all taken care of. It's called the cross.
Yes, Lord.
Propitiation. If you look back there again at Romans 3:24, it says, but being justified freely by his grace,
yes,
through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance,
yes,
of God. This plea deal, it gives us complete justice. This plea deal that God offers us, he offers his own son to pay the price for something that we have done that,
yes,
we could never pay for.
Never pay.
Yeah. Come on now.
So Jesus paid for something
paid
that he had,
yeah,
never done.
Jesus paid it.
Sinless, but he paid it all for, yes, you and I. So if you take the plea deal.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. If you take the plea deal, then all is well, because justice will be served.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me show you something here. You see, when we delve into God's word, and when we overemphasize one truth, and that truth being that God is sovereign, that God has control over all things, that God from the beginning of time, from eternity past, God had it all figured out. From your mother's womb, God had it all figured out. All the way to the end of this present world, God has it all figured out.
Yes,
he does.
Yes.
But when we put too much emphasis on God and God's sovereignty, then we leave out the human responsibility.
Jesus.
So we have to have, like Lady Justice, we have to have a balance. We don't want unbalanced theology, so we have to add in that human responsibility to balance God's sovereignty, and then we'll have a balanced theology. You do your part.
Yes, sir.
And let God
do his.
God's got a bigger part,
yes,
than you do. But if you let God do his, then it,
yes,
will be balanced.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, let me go through this scripture for this morning. When Paul considered God's perfect plan, how God, from the beginning of time, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and from that time, how he had it all figured out, how he called Israel as his people, how he made a way for Israel, and he let the Israel, because of unbelief, disperse, and he left an opening for us as Gentiles. And
oh God, thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
When Paul looked at this magnificent plan of God and how God had from the beginning of time set it in motion, and when he considered the greatness, the magnificence of God's plan, he could scarce take it in. But Paul didn't overthink it. Paul didn't try to figure out the mind of God. And Paul didn't try to figure it all out. But Paul exclaimed, the depth and of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And my soul cries out hallelujah when I think about all that God has done and all that God has made possible. And all I have to do is my little bit.
Jesus.
Come on now.
Paul says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He said, my mind can't take it in, but I'm not going to worry about it, because that's God's business. All I want God to do is give me the plea. I'm not going to offer any kind of defense. I'm not going to try any kind of defense. I'm going to take the plea.
Take the plea.
Right. Hallelujah, God.
Oh, hallelujah. Uh-huh. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who could take in what God can do? Who has known the mind of God? But he's made a way for you, and he made a way for me. I believe I'm going to take the plea.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Paul goes on, he says, for who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? Who has ever loaned something to God? Hallelujah. He said, for of him and through him and to him are all things.
Yes.
To whom be glory forever. And Paul said, amen.
Hey, that's it.
Amen. Come on then.
Thank you. So be it.
Paul considers God's great plan of the ages. All he can do is just, he burst into spontaneous praise. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. To whom be glory forever. You see, the fact that Paul can't figure out God makes him glorify God all the more.
Yes. How awesome.
When we understand some of the greatness of God, we worship him.
Yes.
Because he is worthy.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
Glory, God.
You see, God's plan works for both. It works in perfect harmony with human responsibility. God's sovereignty, his plan works in perfect harmony. God has already done his part. All he asks is that you do yours. I believe I'm going to take the deal. I don't know about you, but
yes.
I'm going to take the deal.
Yes, sir.
And all you got to do.
Ah.
I'll show you that. I'm going to give you that on that web page there, because I found a little document there.
Uh-huh.
It just spells it out nicely. Going to take the deal.
I'm going to take the deal.
It says to be completely pardoned.
Uh-huh.
The first thing you have to do, condition number one, you have to admit.
Yes, sir.
That you're wrong.
All right.
Admit that you have
sinned.
And you can't pay the price for your sin, but you have sinned.
Yes, sir.
Condition number two.
Number two.
You have to believe.
Believe. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You have to know that the wages of sin is death. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that
whosoever
believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Take the plea.
Take it. Yes, sir.
The third condition is that you commit to him.
All right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
So all you got to do is admit that you're wrong.
Admit.
Believe that God has already paid the price and commit to him.
ABC. Thank you.
God has already done his part.
Yes.
All you need to do
yes, sir, God.
Is take the plea.
Take the plea.
Right. Let me leave you with Romans 12.
Uh-huh.
I beseech you,
yes, sir, God.
Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Yep.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Take the plea.
All right.
If you're going through something,
uh-huh,
and you don't know which way to go, take the plea.
Yes, sir.
If you got a illness in your body and you don't know what to do about it, you got a pain, you don't know which way to turn, somebody has said something to you and you don't know what to do, take the plea.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Oh, God.
You see, it's the perfect plea. God has paid the price for this. All you have to do, whatever it is at this table.
Come on now.
God has already paid the price, and it's a just deal. Somebody has paid for it.
Paid the price, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Take the plea.
Take the plea. Take the plea. And we'll leave you with the final scripture. That being Romans 12:3.
Mm-hmm.
For I say,
uh-huh,
through the grace given unto me,
mm-hmm,
to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Take the deal.
Take the deal.
It's the only time you can go against what mama taught you. Mama taught you that you never get something for nothing. Well, I'm going to go against mama today, because here at the table, if you take the plea, this is the one time that you can get something for nothing.
Yeah. Huh. Thank you.
So, in closing, I just want to reiterate to you, take the plea. If you haven't already taken the plea, don't let it go to trial. I've seen how that comes out. Don't let it go to trial. Take the plea, and you can obtain justice through Jesus Christ, who replaces what's due you with grace and mercy. When justice said you ought to die,
hallelujah,
grace and mercy.
Grace and mercy.
Plead your case.
Yeah, God, thank you.
Let us pray.
Thank you,
God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. For without grace and without mercy, Lord, we would all have to pay the penalty of death. For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because you loved us, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our stead. And all we have to do is take the plea.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for making a way. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.